Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. Tonight, Tuesday, the 25th of May, 2010. Now, ladies and gentlemen, first with the contact information. If you'd like to write the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time or HOT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com, that's hourofthetime.com, and the studio number in Arizona, 928-333-2942. That's 928-333-2942. And the studio number in Canada, 613-733-4324. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to write and share research, questions that are productive, send hate mail, what have you, you can email me directly at hourofthetime@hotmail.com. That's hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now, folks, this evening we have a lot of different updates for you. We're going to be covering stuff for the fall conference here in October in Arizona. We're also going to be talking about a new DVD release. Some reflections that I've had lately on, based on phone calls and correspondence with people out there on why it's important to listen and take your knowledge and research full circle. Don't just half-ass do it, because you're probably going to get yourself in trouble. We're also going to be talking about the solar generator and several other tidbits this evening. So, after this musical break, be prepared to take notes, because we have a lot of different info to cover in a lot of different areas. All right, ladies and gentlemen, your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona, with the hour of the time. Tonight, Tuesday, the 25th of May, 2010. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have another exciting DVD coming out this week. A new release from Hour of the Time. This is the Michael Cremo DVD, and I think a lot of you are going to like it. He actually, after the interviews over the years, going back with Bill and I, and then on my own, and then Robert on his own, has actually been one of the hot interviews, because a lot of people, just like David Christopher interviews, have emailed after the broadcast concerning his topics, where to buy his books, where to find videos. But he didn't really have a video on DVD or VHS, for that matter, showing his work, expounding upon it with displays and PowerPoints, all that. Well, Michael Cremo was the guest speaker for an entire day at the last conference in the fall of 2009, here with Hour of the Time. So what we did was, just like every year, we made arrangements with them, and we have a professionally produced DVD, professional artwork, everything. It's actually a three-disc set. And what this is Michael Cremo's course that he gave everybody on forbidden archaeology, the knowledge filtration that exists out there in the school system. Because when he went into this many years ago, he saw how archaeologists in general, and because of government intervention, especially in the artifacts that are found out there, really fit the agenda of Darwinism. And the Darwinists controlled the books. The Darwinists controlled the literature, the curriculums in the schools, and he sought out to see that tore down. And what he found doing his research, going places that none of us could a lot of times can't go, going into research centers at universities, etc., going to museums all around the world and working with archaeologists around the world, he has been able to compile a massive amount of physical evidence showing that a lot of the archaeological students are being mistaught. There are examples of extreme human antiquity out there that is not shown to the students. And one good example is the storehouses of physical artifacts found by archaeologists that are then buried, never shown to the public, never exposed in writings, peer-reviewed journals, like Berkeley. Berkeley houses, UC Berkeley, houses a massive amount of artifacts, and many people sit right on the grounds for 4 to 6 to 8 years, attaining a doctorate in archaeology, and they've never even been shown these things on the very campus where they thought they were taught. Ladies and gentlemen, this entity, this paradigm, this very concept, Michael Cremo refers to it as knowledge filtration. And it goes on, of course, not just in archaeology, but this is his field of study. It goes on all over in different fields. But right here, it's physical evidence to show that the Darwinist theories completely lack any solid evidence. And that the age of very advanced civilizations and mankind cultures trading with money and items, so hence economics, history, language, how to relay information and travel, have been suppressed to a great deal, and that there's a lot of solid physical evidence buried out there. And when I say buried, I don't mean just in the dirt, buried in warehouses by people who don't want everybody to know that maybe a lot of the history books, especially in that field, need to be rewritten. So while he was here, his presentation was filmed. His PowerPoints are included. And then the third disc is a first time ever, in this case especially, just a nice interview with Michael Cremo on his thoughts and his research. And all of this never before relayed to the public in such a format. Michael Cremo and his wonderful assistant, Lori, had been looking for such a thing. And when we brought it up to them, they've been wonderful to work with throughout the whole process also. But they really liked the idea. There had been some hack jobs out there where someone had filmed a piece at a speaking engagement, just a segment from a way far off in the back of an audience, and threw it up there on some free serving site. Or there had been snippets where he's been a guest speaker in a History Channel special, or like his work with Charlton Heston. But never a dedicated presentation to his work. This is a very good DVD, ladies and gentlemen. I think you'll be quite interested and quite intrigued. And I think when you watch it, you'll realize, I think it might get that thought process going with you, because you might realize that, hey, this is not the only field, this is not the only endeavor, it's not the only area of academia that is being filtered and suppressed, and intentionally a very definite socialist, a very definite secret society, a very definite Darwinist agenda being pushed by simply not teaching anybody the truth. So watch for that to come on the website, hourofthetime.com, this week. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, Hour of the Time is listener supported. Through your support for your donations for DVDs, like our last new one just a couple weeks back, the Aquarius, and now Cremo, and upcoming, the Porterville set, the very, you could say, the peak of Bill's work. That's exactly what he said himself when he was done with the presentation. This is a way that you can support the Hour of the Time, so we can maintain our presence on the airwaves, so that we can expand to our new shortwave endeavor. Very powerful prime time, prime frequency broadcasting, going back on shortwave again. We have the offers. We want to do that, but we need your support. So go to the website, hourofthetime.com, then go to the Hot Shop. And there at the Hot Shop, you can find literally hundreds of different MP3 individual audio files. You can find collections, special series, if you will. Those are on a topical subject. So you might find one on caching. You might find the Lost Light series, like last week. You all had the fortune of hearing, many of you, for the first time. We ran that last week, and a lot of you had not heard it before. You had heard snippets of it. Mystery Babylon. You can also go to the Hot Shop and find DVD presentations, a plethora of them. Numerous presentations by Bill and by guest speakers with Hour of the Time. Now, I would suggest you do that, ladies and gentlemen, because we have a lot of huge expansion opportunities in front of us right now at Hour of the Time. And we need to do that. But Rob and I and just a handful of people can't do it on our own. So another great way is the Hot Club. Now, for instance, many of you have joined up this month, and we really appreciate it. And what that does, all the details, again, go to hourofthetime.com and go to the Hot Shop and just look up the Hot Club. And what it is we ask for every month a $40 donation. Now, it's not an automatic withdrawal thing or anything like that. So maybe you send it the first week of the month, and maybe next in June, maybe you've got this or that bill, your engine broke down in your car, whatever, and so you can't send it until the second week. Now, you can do it via the shopping cart at the Hot Shop, or you can just mail it into our physical address for mailing. Now, what that does is that gives us a stream of donations that we can count on to invest in, like shortwave expansion, more serving space, online PDF libraries for the Hot Club, which is something I've already been working on and building already a site for Hot Club members. Literally, thousands of PDFs available there for your perusal as a Hot Club member. Also, at the end of the month, one of the big deals is that as the broadcast month is over, which if you take the broadcast evenings throughout the year, the Monday through Fridays, and you average them out, your monthly average is like 21 broadcast evenings a month. So what we do is whatever was the prime focus that evening for the Hour of the Time broadcast, whether last week, like The Lost Light by Bale Cooper, or my caching series, or The Art of Covered Writing, whatever the prime time slot broadcast is, you get all those on the disc on an MP3 format. The second disc you get is all the written materials that we offered on the air or used as research material for the broadcasting. So it's a wonderful deal. Donate $40 a month, you get every broadcast from the prime time slot that month, and you get the documentation, two disc, mailed to you at the course at the end of the month. You can't mail it before the end of the month. So like the first week of the following month is when you receive it. This more steady flow or form of donations allows us to better budget when we have a problem. We have a laptop, or we need a hard drive burned up, or we need a piece of equipment. We need to go to such and such speaking engagement we've been invited to. We have to pay travel. So we have to get there somehow. Photocopies, ink, paper, electricity. So it lets us better plan our operation. So it's a wonderful deal for you as well. You're not just donating $40 outright. Now, those are great, of course. But it's better in this way because you get something in return for your research and your research library. So I'd heartily recommend to everybody that you go and join the Hot Club. There's a lot of people out there who benefit a lot from the broadcasting and knowledge and the PDFs, etc. broadcast here on Hour of the Time, and this is a great way for you to help and reciprocate. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go to a quick musical break here. Get me some herbal tea to drink here, and we'll continue on. And we're going to cover why it's so important to actually put to use what you hear. Don't just hear and dismiss it. Don't just hear and put it off and think that you know this or know that, and then think that you can get yourself out of a bind later on, because you probably can't. You need to apply what you're learning at the conferences, in the PDFs we offer on the broadcast. Almost every evening I'm on, I offer a free PDF of some form to email to you. And what you hear on the broadcast and the documentation, you have to apply it. Or you can find yourself in a bind where you are hurting yourself, your friends, your loved ones, because you didn't take it full circle. You just kind of halfway went and then stopped. So think about that, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to cover a few reasons why I think that's very important because of what recently happened to a friend of mine and ours here at Hour of the Time and the bind he's gotten himself into. All right, ladies and gentlemen, your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona, with the hour of the time. Again, our mailing address, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com, and the studio in Arizona, 928-333-2942, and the studio in Canada, 613-733-4324. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what I want to get into now is sort of a packing list for those of you attending the October conference. It is this year we have a very special guest, John Coleman, and I suggest those of you who aren't coming to the conference, well, all of you, but those of you who aren't coming to the conference in October here in Arizona, that you get the book. That's the Committee of 300 from John Coleman. Now, what we're going to do is have him as our guest featured speaker the first entire day of the conference. And how that works is he brings his presentations, so you can see those, all the things that can't be done over the air in a book, plus the breaks, the lunches, the evening time, the dinners. You can ask him questions directly on his research. And as usual, we'll be professionally filming this one for those of you who couldn't make it, because John Coleman, again, is another one that does not have a real professional presentation out there available of his material. So we're working closely with him on that. And then the rest of the week, as the conferences have progressed, and that doesn't mean you can't attend one as a new person, because we have all the rest on DVD, but as they progress and the skill levels and knowledge progress farther and farther along, we're able to do more rougher things, if you will. So this year, per the request of the attendees, because the attendees get to really pick, because they're the most important ones. They're not just sitting at home, not being part of the solution, whining and griping. They're there. They weigh a heavy influence upon next year's schedule. And the overwhelming choice by the attendees was to have more of a more field sessions all week. We've done the rappelling. We have the shooting classes, pistols 1 year, rifles 1 year, shotguns 1 year, ballistics and long-range shooting another year. Now, more field techniques. Now, many of you have got to take us up on the survival shelters and stay out in them, etc. And another thing that many of the attendees requested from last year was that they have a list of items to bring to give them a start. The start of a bug-out bag, if you will. I really don't like that term even. It's kind of ignorant and makes people not use the tools they have and their knowledge whenever something that's smaller, more menial, comes around, like bad water in Boston, for instance. So we're going to cover that list real quick here. We're going to go down some items that those of you attending in October need to bring along. Now, many of you already have these items, and if you need help with any of these items, you can certainly email me, Doyle, at hourofthetime@hotmail.com, and I'll send this basic list to you of items you'll need for the week for the conference. Now, let's start out with a container, a method of holding our items and transporting them around. You don't have to go super expensive on this. You don't need to buy the most expensive Ranger tactical pack to start with. Start with a day pack, just something basic, and very low-key is better. Now, try to look for the kind of day pack, like your school day packs or light hiking, you know, day hike type day packs, that are lightweight, rather mundane in their colors and design, so they blend in. There's a reason for that. Also look for the kind that have the two pockets, usually on each side of the pack, to hold a little 1 pint or 1 quart water bottle. And that way you've always got some drinking water with you. Now, you want to avoid ones that say, kill a commie for your mommy, or are covered in camouflage, and then expect to carry these on a daily basis to and fro work on the subway, because all you're going to do is stand out and wave a red flag. OPSEC, ladies and gentlemen. So be obscure. Now, if your place of employment, so that you avoid the pitfalls that many people suffered, like in New York on 9/11, they didn't have proper shoes to even get around, and there was a lot of sprained ankles, injuries. People couldn't move quickly because they were wearing a shoe appropriate for work, but not for getting out of the AO. So that's something to think about. Earthquake and tornado prone areas, flood prone areas. So even something that basic. But maybe where you work at, you're an IT tech, you're a bean counter, whatever you happen to be in some corporation in a high rise building, maybe a day pack would not really blend in without a lot of questions. So one of the larger size laptop bags is a great way to avoid unnecessary attention. Now, a water filter, if you get this, you need to, at all, if you have the possibility at all to get one, you should have already had it. But you can get them at several sources, and we recommend the Katadyn Hiker 2. That's a very good one, or Hiker Pro. The reason being is, when you look, you have to look at the volume of water a given filter will do versus the cost of the replacement filter cartridge. And that can just, you can simply make a ratio, if you like, divide out the cost in the gallons that a given cartridge will do. Also, you need to look for the availability. You don't want to get a very obscure one that can't be, filters can't be found. So the Katadyn brand, being a world leader in water filtration and purification specialties, their equipment, repair kits, availability, what have you, is available all around. Now, some models of water filters get pricey, and they require even tools to maintain and disassemble. The Hiker Pro and Hiker 2s by Katadyn don't require that. They're completely field maintainable without any tools, change cartridges, what have you. Again, if you need sources or help finding any of these items, email me at hourthetime@hotmail.com, and I can send you a list. Now, you need some kind of knife, or for a man out there, that's a shank or shiv. And there is a wonderful source that you can order via the mail, phone, internet, what have you, to get a whole plethora of pocket knives, what have you. You need to have some kind of cutting instrument. A basic Swiss Army mechanic. You know, they have about 100 models in the Swiss Army line. Get a genuine one. Don't get a Chinese knockoff, because the blade or screwdriver or something will probably break off right when you're using it and need it. So get a genuine one, a very small scale one. You don't need one of those ones that's like an inch and a half fat and weighs 3 pounds. A very good one is the mechanic model. And your basic Boy Scout model is always a good one too. But look for a good brand. Look for a quality product and made in a quality country, like Case Knives. Case is another wonderful brand. Buck knives tend to be very hard to sharpen. They're still as overly hard, I find, so do many others. So I would actually avoid them. Unfortunately, a lot of companies, Gerber had a wonderful name for years, and now they're just riding the name because a ton of their products have been offshored. So they're made in Taiwan and China now, and their quality has gone down. So you don't need to get real expensive here, but get you something. And always, through all these items, don't forget, hit your yard sales, rummage sales, thrift stores. I just got, last Saturday morning, quite early, I went out, saw a sign down the street, driving down Main, yard sale. So I kind of turned here and turned there, didn't know what to expect, where it was at. Found it. I kind of knew the people, but got out there. And I, for $2, got a $90 item for $2 just last Saturday. So keep that in mind, ladies and gentlemen. You don't have to go broke doing this. Now, compass. Look for a Silva, or a Brunton brand. Those are very high quality. Make sure that you have the base plate, the part that lays flat, not the dial that turns, the base plate. Make sure it's got that with some flat edges on it. Typically, those will have measuring increments in centimeters and good old American inches. Now, the reason for that is to allow you to draw straight lines, to do resections, intersections, fields of fire, fire zones, LPOPs, and, of course, paths of ingress and egress. It's kind of hard to do when all you have is a round compass. It's a lot easier with a base plate that has straight edges. Now, parachute cord, one of those wonderful little tools and gadgets for the survival kit. Typically, it's called parachute cord or 550 cord. You want to look into that and get a genuine USA-made one. Again, we have numerous sources. Email me if you're not sure where to get it, and I will send you that list. 550 cord is the total poundage rating, 550 pounds strength, and what it's comprised of is an outside sheath and then seven inner smaller strings, like robust dental floss. I don't know how else to put it. But each of those carries a poundage rating of 60 pounds, each of those strands. So you can actually have a 10-foot length of parachute cord, and if you were running short, need to build shelters, do some fishing line with one of the inner strands, a small snare, sew, stitch. You can break it apart by pulling those inner strands out. They come right out of the outer sheath. One 10-foot piece could ultimately give you, because the outer sheath and seven inner strands, 80 foot of usable string. So, but don't get one of the knockoffs from China. The Chi-Com like to market stuff to the Americans because Americans are stupid, generally, and think that every time they save a penny, they're getting ahead. Until they, because a lot of this stuff just sits in a closet. People don't go use it. That's not the point of Hour of the Time. You get cheap knockoff stuff, it's just fake. It looks like it, and I've seen so-called parachute cord at surplus-type rummage places, shows, like Survival Expos even, some of the big national ones. I saw it marketed there, and it was a Chinese knockoff. The total rating of everything together was only 140 pounds strength. Wasn't even genuine 550 cord. Now, if you're counting on that strength, that could get you in quite a predicament. Now, you need some form of water storage and transport as well, and that's why I say maybe get a day pack or a larger size fanny pack with the two water bottles, or at least one or two outside easy to access pockets for a water bottle. Maybe it's a zippered, roundish-shaped pocket on the outside, and be creative. Take advantage of sales at stores where they're dumping all the school goods now that the school year in general across the country is over. There's a lot of places to find these, rummage shops, etc. Now, you need something for drinking and cooking in. A GI canteen cup is a wonderful item. A GI canteen cup, it fits around the one-quart canteen from the military if you're going that route with one of those canteens. Fits right around it on the bottom. Has handles. You can cook in it, boil water in it, eat out of it, drink out of it, dig with it, all sorts of stuff. But be creative. I'd rather have a Campbell's soup can from dinner last night washed out and rinsed real good and the enamel burned out of it in my pack than nothing at all. Because you can cook in soup cans quite well. In fact, you can make a whole kitchen out of old cans, if need be, utensils and all. Now, fire starter is another necessary item. Always be redundant on fire starting. One of the great ways is the Brian special. Brian from PA, he likes his Vaseline balls, and they work quite well. And what you do is get cotton balls, and we've shown this before. It's a little trick that a lot of hikers and survival schools use because they will, by patting with your fingers, kneading in just a little bit of Vaseline into a cotton ball, you can tear off a piece of it and in a raining downpour, light a fire. It's a wonderful little gadget. Cheap, you made it yourself, stick them inside of a little Astrum bottle, something, the old 35mm film canisters. Again, be creative. Excedrin, all those different pill bottles, maybe a prescription pill bottle. If you have those or have access to some of them, peel the prescription label off first, of course. Stick them in there, and that just keeps them drier and from getting goo all over your pack. but it also keeps them dry, which is, of course, the ultimate, but they'll light in a downpour. You'll also want some waterproof matches in a container. You'll want a lighter, like a Bic. Don't get the five for a dollar specials at the dollar store because they don't last long, don't light, break in half, etc. Now, all these have been taught and will be taught, of course, quickly at the conference, but a lot of you have been able to harbor this knowledge. And for those of you who haven't, the past conferences, every DVD from every conference since 2006 are soon to be debuted as well on the website. So you can get a lot of that past knowledge before you attend or for your own use if you're not attending. Now, you want some form of small flashlight as well. Now, we can all run around in the dark. That's quite easy. And we can take cattails and the cattail cotton or cedar bark and make a caveman torch. And you'll see that at the conference in the fall this year in Arizona. But it's a lot easier when you run into a predicament to just flick a switch. So a very small flashlight, get something that's a commonly available battery. Okay? Either your standard 3-volt lithiums that are so popular in the tactical lights. And lithium has those advantages of 20-year shelf life, by the way, for any of your extra batteries. Or something very common like AA. AA should stand for always available, because I don't care where you go in the world, you can find AA batteries somewhere. And even throughout the time, you can stock up cheap with 100 packs of them. Again, at the website, hourofthetime.com and the Hot Shop. Now, a water key, we've discussed that on the air. Get you a water key, a Silcock key, sometimes called. You can find those at the hardware store. You'll want a small basic assortment. If you want to buy one of those little handheld first aid kits, that's fine. Or you can put together just a few butterfly bandages, some regular Band-Aids, some antiseptic ointment, and those little like ketchup packet type applicators. Get you a few items, put them in a Ziploc, a good quality Ziploc bag. And really, Ziploc bags are one of the other things like the Vaseline fire starters and parachute cord. Multi-purpose. Everything here is multi-purpose. And you can use them to gather water, purify water. You can actually cook in them and boil water. I can show you some of those tricks this fall. Use them for sucking chest wounds, major arterial bleeding as a gasket before your bandages. And it helps compartmentalize your items in your pack so you're not just dumping a pack out in the rainstorm looking for one small item. It doesn't settle to the bottom of the pack. So you might have the 7 basic areas of your survival kit like signaling, light, heat, shelter, medical. You might have all those broke down. Poncho or other rain gear. A military poncho, of course, is the best, but a $1 poncho would be better than nothing. Okay? Now, ponchos can serve as not only protection from the rain, but can also be shelter as well. I would suggest foil, and you want to get a good quality, not a knockoff generic brand, and get heavy-duty freezer aluminum foil. That can be used for fishing lures, snares, water containers, cooking vessels, medical, signaling, the list goes on and on and on. I taught my boy in the stream on a survival camp how to make a fishing lure with his aluminum foil. He caught trout. He had his little 22 in his pack. He also harvested squirrels, and we ate all of it, and he was quite shocked, and he didn't have a fishing pole or lures or anything. So, an emergency snack. Now, what I've put in that category is the little things that can make life a little better. If all you have is hot water to drink, life can get real boring real quick and get old. But to get you through something, if you have a little bouillon cube, beef or chicken, whatever, that you can break a little piece off and throw in that and have a broth, or maybe you're having to eat a dinner of grubs and you can get rid of some of the taste with a little bouillon, be creative again. Some jerky, maybe in a little vacuum sealer you already own, or in a little Ziploc bag. You don't need to throw the whole giant store bag in your pack. The energy bars, you don't need to go for Clif bars. Those are quite popular. You're buying the name again. There's a lot of other energy type sports bars out there that actually have higher levels of carbohydrates, and that's what you're looking for. Look for high carbs and protein. Just compare them on the labels on the shelf. A little bit of cayenne if you can. Some sugar, spice, salt. These are all great items to have. Again, all of them in a little Ziploc bag. And be creative. You're down at your local Arby's or wherever you happen to be eating for some unknown reason. And as you're checking out, you might happen to grab a handful of pepper and salt packets and sugar packets and all of those little items and the spoon and the plastic package on your way out, and they could end up in your pack. Now, you also need a small shovel or trowel, a garden trowel. You'll see really lightweight ones that are like a fluorescent orange. Those are great. If you're going to get an entrenching tool, an e-tool, don't get a knockoff. Get a good quality one. You can get a U.S. military surplus ones. They fold in three sections, so they're very compact, but they are more heavy. But these let you pick, dig, scrape, smash things, kill things, beat them to death, whatever you might have to do in a certain situation. Your shelter, if you can fit in a little square of plastic, a 10 by 10 square, you can look at the tarps. You can look at the versatile tarp or the versatile cloth. And that's available from a wonderful source, all pre-made, and some conference attendees have got to try those out even in a severe monsoon, and they stayed bone dry all evening. Good quality Ziploc bags, a few quarts and a few gallon size, a plethora of uses. Also, contractor-grade black trash bags. You typically find those at a hardware store. And they can be the big box stores, but try to support your local, small, privately owned one first. 3 mil thickness or heavier. These can be used to make sinks out in the woods, water catchments, shelters, ponchos, signaling devices. The list goes on and on. A bandana. Bandana has a multiple of uses. I can think of at least 26 uses for a large bandana or cravat. C-R-A-V-A-T. Charlie, Romeo, Alpha, Victor, Alpha, Tango, cravat. At least 26 uses that I know of, from filtering water to bandaging to headbands to broken bones. Now, a little bit of one of those little dollar or dollar 50 bottles of the liquid jelly like hand sanitizer. Being able to clean your hands and around your mouth and face not only can be a big moral boost or morale boost, can also keep the condition sanitary enough so you don't come down in a bad situation with a sickness or an illness that shuts you down completely by keeping those like fingertips, your mouth around your mouth, your face clean, and other areas so you don't get itches that you don't want. Try to get one, and it's real easy to do. Walgreens, CVS, all over. Even shopping, regular shopping markets, 62% ethyl alcohol or higher. When it's got 62% ethyl alcohol or higher, this is a wonderful fire starter. It'll even float, and it can light and burn on top of water. So you need to have that as well in your kit. Now, that's a good basic summary. And if you have a little extra room in your little day pack here or whatever you chose, throw in a change of underclothes, like socks, maybe some cotton gloves or wool gloves or mittens, a light long sleeve shirt, as in like a t-shirt material, but long sleeved, lighter colors are better, and maybe a pair of underwear, and throw those in there. Now, if you need some personal hygiene item, and you don't want to use a twig or chunk of leather or something, then throw that in there as well. An almost used roll of toilet paper is quite small. Push it flat, stick it in a Ziploc bag. Feminine hygiene items. You could use a piece of leather like some nomadic tribe or a mullein leaf rolled up, but a tampon or something might be a lot easier. So we're going to go to a quick musical break and come back on the air with some other cool new items. right, ladies and gentlemen, again, your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, tonight, 25th Tuesday of May, not the 25th Tuesday, it's Tuesday the 25th of May, 2010, with the hour of the time. And if you would like to email me if you're coming to the conference or need some help on this list or to get the product, simply email me hourofthetime@hotmail.com and I'll send you a Word document. Now we have a guest here in the studio. TJ is here, and he's gotten to experience a little of the conditions and weather, and he's got some tidbits and hints for those of you. He'll be at the October conference, and he's got some tips and hints of what he's observed already that may help. So, TJ, why don't you go ahead and point out some of the things you've seen that might help attendees out here.
Okay, well, I'm assuming that I'm talking mainly first to it's going to be to new people, because if you've been here already, then you already know what this area is like. Some of the initial things that I've experienced is, and from what I remember when I was younger in the mountains, it may be common to mountainous area, but in the mornings and the night, it gets really cold. And then throughout the day, the sun comes out and it gets really warm. And so I, Doyle told me to bring long sleeve t-shirts, and that's good. Keep you a little warm, but when it gets cold, it's not going to do that much good to keep you warm. But what it will do is it help block the sun. So the sun, what I noticed, it's strong, almost like taking a magnifying glass, shining the sun right onto your skin. So it's very bright, and it's very strong, and you can get burned very easily. So if you have a dark shirt on, then you're going to suck that sun right up. And so sunglasses help block the sun from your eyes. Sunblock would be really good to have put on your face, neck, other parts of exposed skin, because you will quickly burn if you're out in the sun, even for shorter periods of time. I thought I got burned really bad yesterday because my face was just really hot, and I tried to stay out of the sun as much as possible, but to get in the sun a little bit to keep warm. But I didn't get burned at all, so that was good. It's very dry, and I noticed even just riding in the car, my throat just kept getting really dry, so I had to keep getting something to drink. So lip balm, which I don't use very much, but I do carry it around, some like chapstick-type lip balm. And so I put some of that on today because I noticed that some of my lips are drying and cracking a little bit, and I just got here the other day. So definitely we'll be drinking lots of water. So carrying containers for your water is definitely important. And we were out yesterday, and I noticed that, Doyle mentioned the air being a little harder to work to get the air. And so I didn't really experience that until I was walking up a hill, and I thought I was dying. I thought my lungs were collapsing. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't even make up the hill and get breath. Mm-hmm. So if you do some walking around to strengthen up your lungs, I think that may help out. So if you're doing any walking or hiking, because when you start doing a little bit of work, it is harder to get air, and that's when you really notice it. And a hat, cover your face and neck, so if you're out in the sun and you don't want that beating down on you all the time, keep that off. And that's pretty much what I have. Besides, the area is very, very beautiful. There's lots of trees, lots of animals. We saw lots of elk when we were out just driving around, and had some, like a group of 10 elk cut us off, and saw deer and all kinds of animals, and got some fresh spring water from a real spring and drank that. So it's beautiful, and it's a really great place. Like Doyle's had a great vacation, so you'll definitely enjoy it.
Cool. Yeah, that's great. And what's good about these type of comments, ladies and gentlemen, is it helps you to see someone who hasn't been here before, like maybe that's the case with you attending the HOT conference, some good tidbits and items to have on hand that those of us that live here day in and day out kind of forget about. Now, I want to thank you for tuning in this evening, and you can thank yourself again for all that you're learning, but the key thing is solution-oriented programming, and be solution-oriented yourself. Now put it to use, ladies and gentlemen. Again, your host here, Doyle Shamley, with the Hour of the Time.